For nearly 30 years, James Cash has been listening. He's one of the top experts on cockpit voice recorders in the world. His work has brought him all over the world, reconstructing and analyzing the sounds of some of the most tragic accidents, from two space shuttle explosions, a nuclear submarine collision, and even tape from a drug raid gone wrong. Most notably, his analysis of a quarter of a second of sound provided the key to solving the mystery of TWA Flight 800 explosion. That was back in 1996 off the coast of Long Island. His career at the National Transportation Safety Board has earned him a Service to America Medal nomination, and he joins us now. Mr. Cash, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so you started off as a pilot in the Air Force before going into engineering. It sounds like you've brought a lot of disciplines together in one person. Tell us about that.
Well, it was I was looking to kind of change from the Air Force and to go from being a fighter pilot to kind of a desk job, and the safety board was a good opportunity to use the piloting experience plus background in engineering.
All right, so let's get right to the one of the key findings that you ever came up with, and that is the TWA Flight 100. As I recall, there was a wire in the gas tank, but tell us the process by which you arrived at that, finding that tiny little needle in such a big haystack.
Well, it was just it was just one little piece of the puzzle that they had the physical evidence, and we were looking for what actually set off the explosion. And there was a little signature on the cockpit voice recorder. It was the flight was normal up to a certain point, and then in the last quarter of a second there was a little noise there that we wanted to explore a little more. And with that, we contracted and found a 747 and blew it up just to obtain the signature to kind of mirror it against the one in the accident.
And this was one that was already scheduled for decommissioning, we presume, too, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, so it sounds like you almost sound like the guy in the conversation. You can take the tiniest bit of sound and extrapolate from it.
Sometimes you you get lucky, and there is the signatures there. Sometimes there isn't anything there, and so it kind of all depends on the accident.
I'm just curious about what your day-to-day is like. I mean, do you spend your day in a sound booth, like listening to the same bits of sound over and over again, or perhaps it's more typical?
Our day-to-day work is really extracting data from recording devices on all modes of transportation, whether it be general aviation, handheld GPS units, or, the big airplane accidents are so rare that, most of the time we spend on recovering data from smaller airplanes the volume is much higher.
We're speaking with James Cash. He's the Chief Technical Advisor in the Office of Research and Engineering at the National Transportation Safety Board and also a Service to America's Medals finalist. And I wanted to ask you about some of the work you've done to help update this whole technology that's in airplanes. At one time, it was a 30-second little piece of tape, and now there's lots of parameters, and it's all digital. You've had a lot to do with that, haven't you?
Yes, we've worked the standard organizations, to develop the standards for modernizing the recorders. The recorders have kind of virtually been unchanged since the early 50s, 60s, and just continually work to try to update them with newer solid state. The current model recorders are all solid state devices. There are no more tape units out there. So it's kind of a continuing process. We work with the FAA to get these in the inventory, but it's a long, hard process.
And I guess that means that they're more durable and it's more likely to be able to salvage the sound or the other information that you can get from it.
Right. Plus, you get more information. Our biggest problem was fires on larger airplanes, and the newer solid-state recorders are much more resistant to fire damage.
I just have a personal question for you, if you don't mind, because you spend your career listening to the last moments of a disaster in which usually, not always, but often people lose their lives. And what, on a personal level, how do you sort of steel yourself to do that over and over again?
Well, you kind of take the emergency room doctor kind of approach. You know, it's a job. You get used to it. You try to not get personally involved. The hardest ones for me are female pilots. They tend to bother me the most. And any kind of, you know, if there's children or anything involved.
So what was the most difficult case you think you've solved? What was the trickiest one for you?
I think the U.S. Air 427, which was a 737 that crashed in Pennsylvania, that one was the most technically challenging one. That took the board 3.5, almost 4 years to kind of get to the bottom of that one.
What was so hard about it?
There was just a lack of information. The recorders were very, you know, were older style, and they were not as sophisticated as the current models. So there wasn't a lot to go on. So we did numerous flight tests to try to, again, to match the sounds with what we heard on the accident recordings. So it was kind of a long, involved process on that one.
And you'll have to refresh us with what the findings eventually were.
That was a rudder problem with the rudder system on the 737 airplanes, which resulted in a remanufacturing of all rudders on 737s, which is the most popular airplane out there in the commercial fleet.
And I have to ask you, do you usually get to sort of blow up or destroy aircraft in your day's work?
No, that was kind of a unique experience. But the board will go down every road in every investigation usually to try to eliminate, you know, whatever we can eliminate to try to get to the most accurate probable cause.
And you know, you've been at this for 30 years. Are there things that when you're going over the data, I guess I'm asking you, I'm sure there's a lot of things, but what are the most important things that you think are the biggest improvements, meaning perhaps 30 years ago you heard a lot of mistakes of pilot errors or perhaps a lot of mechanical failures? You don't hear that anymore. What are some of those progresses?
The progress, I think, the most that we've done has been educating people that it's a team environment and that they should operate as a team. Years ago, the pilots were very, autocratic, and they the co-pilot would not say anything if he saw an error. And I think we've kind of broken through that. And the newer people, the recent people have, been using it as a team environment and been operating in a team environment. And that's why the accident rate has kind of gone down so much that it has.
And so there's also a lot of interagency effort with the NTSB that people may not be quite as aware of. It sounds like you spend a lot of time involved with other federal agencies.
The board is very small, and it has, you know, somewhat limited resources. Some of these bigger agencies, the FBI and the Bureau of Standards, have much more resources that we can kind of tap into, and they provide a lot of the, not exactly the same, but very similar audio techniques in the FBI. They have a very extensive forensic audio examination area. So we use a lot of their techniques, and they have a big research budget. So they buy 100 of something, and we buy one, those kind of things.